Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new listener, we welcome you and pray that the Lord blesses and encourages your heart. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Well, I've been ministering on a subject the last couple days on how to get through trials. And I began by sharing, I trust, a very familiar passage found in James 1 and 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And that is a difficult and challenging task for all of us if we are honest. But as we grow in knowledge and in the ways of the Lord, we then begin to see what the potential. We begin to have understanding of why James says that, because in the natural, that is not the way we want to respond. No one wants to be inconvenienced. No one wants to be frustrated. No one wants to go through a tragedy or a crisis, whatever that could be. And so we recoil from unpleasantness. But Jesus told us in the 16th chapter of John that we would have tribulation in the world. So part of getting through trials is realizing they ain't going away. They're part of our earthly life. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so it is important we learn how to respond in a proper way, in a scriptural way, in a way that pleases God to the things that He knows are going to come our way. But even then, God is so gracious, He's so merciful, He doesn't allow us to be tested above what we are able, what we can go through. He's very protective of us. Just like, remember He did Job? Satan said, okay, let me at him and remove that hedge you've got around about him. And he said, yes, but don't take his life. You see, God's hand was, his controlling hand was always on Job and what the enemy could do to him, although he suffered in an extraordinary way, but as a way to give us an example of how, and to give us understanding that even though Job was a perfect man, none like him in all the earth, I don't know any of us can lay claim to that distinction, but he did learn things, and God never actually answered his questions, but he began to have revelation of who God was, and that he began to justify God and not his own self-righteousness. Praise God. So let's do by just a quick review in order to understand what James is saying, that we have to look at that Greek word that he uses. In the first and second chapter, he uses that same word, but it has two different meanings. In James 1 and 2, it means testing and trial. And a little later in that chapter, verses 13 through 15, the context is different. And that's what determines how it's translated. Let no man say that when he's tempted, he's tempted of God. That's verse 13. So, beloved, it's important for us to understand the difference between a testing and a trial, such as James uses in that second verse, and then later on in verses 13 and 15, he's talking about temptation. Now, we began talking about various trials yesterday. Some trials come because we are fallen creatures. We have been redeemed if we're Christian. We're no longer under the bondage of sin and death, but we're still living in a fallen world, and we have our carnal nature, which we need to mortify. Paul says, mortify the deeds of the body. That is a process. And they can be in simple and innocuous ways. Let me give a personal example. I have learned, because of my life, is my schedule is so heavy and busy, I have learned I have to economize the time. And when I, for example, have to go out and do errands, I want to make sure I've got everything I need or know exactly where I'm going. And I cannot tell you the times I said, Lord, please quicken anything I need to bring. Or sometimes unfailingly, if I don't ask him, I get halfway down the road and it's, oh no, I didn't bring that. And I have to turn around and come back. You see, that comes from years of independence and self-reliance. And God wants us to depend on him, actually moment by moment. I'm really working on that, because then I won't waste time. I will be very happy. I've listened to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes there's little problems that come up. Let me assure you, beloved, you have got to depend on the Holy Spirit more. He's wonderful. He's absolutely brilliant. And that should come as no surprise. But he can show you different ways of doing things that are so much easier. He enjoys that. The scriptures say, what if you live in the spirit, you must also walk in the spirit, would mean getting your directions from the Holy Spirit, his timing. And that's the important thing. He can show you things to come, things he wants you to do, but the timing is important. I remember once talking to a Christian brother, and he was a spirit-filled Catholic brother, and he didn't have a schedule. He just really depended on the Holy Spirit. I thought, oh my word, I don't know if I could ever get to that place. However, we're all different, and God deals with us differently. But the point is, you will find so much joy and saving yourself a lot of trouble if you will rely on the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes those trials come because we're fallen, because they're a result of our own folly or stupidity, or sometimes it's sin. And that's why it's important at that. If it is sin, we need to repent. Some trials come because we are human. Things, the aging process, illness sometimes, although we can claim healing. I really believe, I want to share, there was a dear partner. She used to come to our services years ago when she lived in the San Francisco Bay Area. She since moved to Texas. When I was in Oklahoma, when I came back to California, I stopped to visit her. And she's a precious sister, loves the ministry, writes faithfully, and her mom is, believe this or not, we were praying, because she had pneumonia in her lungs, which is very serious. She is 102 years old. And I wrote back with the letter, and I said, you know what, I think by now she should shoot for 120. Because I believe we can, and she was healed. I mean, it was very, sometimes pneumonia is what takes out elderly people. Nope, she's doing fine. Praise God. And so we can claim healing. We will still bring forth fruit in old age. And some of you are up in years like me, so you just claim that. Amen? Praise God. And so now let's look at the other type of trial that can happen because we belong to Christ. A lot of the opposition and the problems and the negative things you're experiencing, and it could be in your household, it could be a spouse or children that are not saved, or it could be a neighbor, or it could be your work situation, your supervisor. I mean, they dislike you unreasonably, and there's really no good reason. Now, it's different if you're not doing your job or you're continually late or something like that. But if you're really doing you're doing the right thing, you're scripturally doing that which is, in other words, there's no charge, no sin that could be laid against you, it's because you belong to Christ. There's a battle constantly between light and darkness. The devil knows those who belong to Christ. Trust me, as you've probably experienced, if you've walked with God for any length of time, God, I know Peter or Paul, I know, but who are you? When he taught those sons of that were trying to cast off that devil, they didn't fare very well. So the fact is, we go through trials because of who we are, and sometimes, as it says in 1 Peter, let me share that, the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 13, dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that in that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. And often, of course, it is the enemy of our soul that has his hand in these kinds of trials. Praise God. And so, you know, we have to understand that whatever the problem is, whether it's because we are our human experience, if we get sick, for example, or we have an accident and we need healing, well, obviously, Jesus, even though we can, I believe, as we walk closer and closer to the Lord, we can walk in a state of divine healing and health. Jesus didn't provide for healing if he knew we weren't going to need it. He knew we would need it. And so those are the kinds of trials that are testings, if you will, that because we're fallen, we've got a sin nature, because it's just the human experience being living in the world. And also, thirdly, because we belong to Christ. And sometimes we can see in the Word of God, those who have gone through great trials. Look at Paul, his life, the things he went through, and the disciples. They went through so many trials simply because they were called of God to share the good news. The devil hates that. We will experience trials, troubles, persecutions as long as we're in this world, perhaps even more so in the times in which we're living. The devil knows his time is short. But beloved, be of good cheer. You are on the winning side. You are more than a conqueror. You have all power over all the power and authority of the enemy. You have authority in Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful work of this new covenant that he has given us, the tremendous benefits and blessings we have. And I'm not minimizing spiritual warfare. There's a time to rebuke and resist the enemy. That's important in these various trials and temptations. We have a part. We have to make sure it is not the work of the enemy. So, having said that, as I bring this broadcast to a close, I do invite you to share your needs. You may be going through a very difficult trial right now, but God will bring you through, and there's power in agreeing prayer. So I do invite you to write, I love you deeply, those who listen, my UCM partners, my radio family, and pray for God's best. Not a day goes by that I don't lift you in prayer. And many times if you do write, there are specific needs. The Lord will bring you, I could be doing something, and I think of that person, and I pray. Pray in the Spirit many times, just because that is the highest form of prayer. And although I do pray with understanding specifically, whatever the need may be. So having said that, I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. Should you email? I don't have a lot of time to spend on emails. I'll confirm. I'll pray. But if you would like a personal letter, I invite you to share your mailing address. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.